Blog Talk Radio.
For Saturday, March 3rd, 2018, you were listening to the PW Torch Livecast, a.k.a. The Deep Dive with Rich Fan. I'm, of course, Rich Fan. Looking forward to talking to you guys this week. I'm going to have one of my main men, Steve Williams, on to talk about outdated ideas and all the cool things in the history of pro wrestling and how they fit in 2018. And before we start it, we want to talk to you, so make sure you hop on the phone with our new old number, 646-721-9828. 646-721-9828. So, like I said, we're going to be talking about outdated gimmicks, of Steve's dirty little cheat matches, or what we would consider is, it's not like you diet, man. We definitely listened to the last 2 weeks. Having both Bree and Ciara on was really cool. I think finishing up February strong and then going into March with all the fun stuff we're going to be doing leading to WrestleMania is definitely going to be fun. So, with that in mind, let's start WrestleMania. As I mentioned last week and alluded to, we're going to try to have an event WrestleMania weekend in New Orleans. It's going to be not going to be the big air folks with and all that fun stuff. But what I do want to do is give Deep Dive, East Coast Cast, Torch in general fans, South Congress fans, or just fans, myself, Cam, and Trav, an opportunity to hang out with us, talk wrestling, talk life, and really just kick back in a relaxed environment. It's something I feel is going to be a really fun added experience to anyone who's been a fan of the Torch, been a fan of any of the three of us as far as our contributions to the Torch. I don't think Wade's going. I don't think Bruce is going. So I figured it'd be our job as the junior in age members. And, you know, we're not the editor, publisher, or senior columnist. We're the, you know, the younger side of the roster. So having us go out there and Cam being the youngest of us, having that, you know, I like wrestling. I like my house time, my video games, but I'm going to leave the fun stuff out and about to him because he knows it far better than I do. But we're looking to hang out with you. So if you're interested, definitely hit me up on Twitter at @rich_fan, F-A-N-N, or email pwtdive@gmail.com and let us know if you're interested in coming, and we'll try to have a little bit of a list of people coming. We'll try to, you know, have some fun. Well, while I wait for my co-host to get here, I want to talk a little bit about my least favorite gimmick that I'm glad is no longer here. And it ties to current top dog, big dog in the WWE, Roman Reigns. And that's the Savage Samoan. I personally am really happy that 2018 in a major wrestling company, we don't have Samoans eating raw fish or walking around barefoot, being unintelligible, or having a bone in their nose, as Vince McMahon said a few years ago to Roman, because that's just weak sauce. I mean, I like the advanced version of it where you have a guy like, if you look at Progress Wrestling, if you look at TK Cooper, he is Kiwi and also Samoan. randomly in the middle ahead and I'm Samoan and then headbutt the guy. Now, even that probably when you have a dude like that, that's where it's going to really be something that's going to either annoy or it's going to put someone in the situation where they're going to be. Like I feel like it's not fitting. So I just threw my main man Steve on. Steve, welcome back to the deep dive. And is everything working right for you?
I think it is now. My phone out here in God's country was not picking up a thing, but now thanks to the internet, I think we're good to go.
Excellent. Excellent. So the first thing I brought up, one, for anyone going to WrestleMania, letting them know that between myself and Cam and Travis is going to be the pretty face, I guess, that we put on the cover. We're trying to put together a get-together for any Torch fans, Deep Dive, East Coast Cast, South Congress, Place to Be Nation, you name it. If you like it and you're not creepy, show up and we can all hang out for a little bit. And then on the side of the show we're doing this week, the Savage Samoan and your thoughts on it.
It amazes me that as recently as 2006 that Umaga was doing that gimmick. When it debuted, I thought there's no way this is going to last just because the thought of a Savage Islander that recently was blowing my mind. Anyone would even buy that. But to his credit, he got it over just by sheer will and being awesome. It wasn't 4 years after that that the Usos debuted, and I think since then, now that we've had characters that have eradicated, you know, that stereotype, I think at this point there's absolutely no going back to that Savage type character.
Yeah, the closest example I can think of now, and I had mentioned it before you got on, was TK Cooper, one half of the South Pacific Power Trio, is Kiwi and Samoan. So randomly in a match, he'll just stop and say, "You idiot, I'm Samoan," and then headbutt the guy. But that's the closest you get. Because he's, other than that, he is the embodiment of a millennial wrestler. He wears onesies to the ring. His theme song is Keep It 100. He awkwardly makes out with his girlfriend before every match. And there isn't any hint of eating raw fish or coming to the ring barefoot or talking in a foreign, unintelligible language. That one's kind of gone the way of the dodo, so to speak. But before we go a bit deeper, why don't you introduce yourself to the folks who haven't heard you before on the show and give them a little bit of what you do and where they can listen to you regularly.
All right, guys. My name is Steve Williams. I'm a 36-year-old lifelong wrestling fan. I have done some work with Place to Be Nation right now. I'm not currently assigned to any projects, so I'm a bit of a free agent, if you will. The bulk of my work can be found in the Place to Be Nation podcast feed under the wrestling, where Will from Texas and I reviewed wrestlers for the Greatest WWE Wrestler Ever project, which is still actually ongoing on placetobenation.com. They are doing the results rollout now, and I believe the next reveal will be the top 25, so be on the lookout for that.
Excellent. And do you mind if the normies decide to follow you on Twitter, and if so, where can they follow you?
If you're up for nonsense tweeting about old movies and old wrestling, you can follow me at SteveDubRN.
Excellent. So I think we have our first caller, so let me bring this fine gent on. Why don't you state your name and where you're calling from, dear sir?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Ryan, welcome back. And how can we dive with you?
Okay, my first question about outdated gimmicks is, has anyone of you ever seen Doink the Clown wrestle at a local indie show before? I have several times, but I don't believe it was the original Doink.
I have seen a Doink wrestle, and it has never been a positive experience.
I've seen plenty of clowns, but not anyone claiming to be a Doink.
Do you have any idea who played the Doink that you saw at the show?
I think for me, right, I think a local guy decided get sued if he went with the gimmick because he was about 350. And I didn't think my dude blew up that much, so it was very awkward.
And my second question for you is, what's the oddest gimmick match you've seen at a local show? I know I've seen, like, Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal matches advertised with Buried Alive matches pretty close to my area, but I never really got to see them live. Have any thing more strange than that happened in your neck of the woods?
What do you think, Steve? Anything pop up? Because you usually see a lot of the indie shows, far more than I do when it comes to indie.
Yeah, I'm going to a double dog collar match this weekend, actually, in Jeffersonville, Indiana. That'll be Friday night. But I'm not far from where IWA Mid-South runs their weekly shows. And they have an ongoing, frankly, a blatant ripoff of the Money in the Bank called the Opportunity in a Box that they do semi-regularly. And yeah, that's probably the hokiest thing I've seen locally.
And my final question for you is, do you think we'll ever come back to a day where we see, like, T.L. Hopper-like characters and the Goon characters back in WWE, or do you think that time has passed us by?
The 90s were chock-full of wrestlers with occupations that decided to wrestle for some ungodly reason. I think the T.L. Hopper...
Rich, are you still with us, sir?
All right, folks, I apologize for the issues. It appears my computer froze, and in doing so, just jacked everything up. Let's see. Steve, are you still there?
Yes, I am back, sir.
All right, good. Yeah, I don't know what happened. It just died. Everything froze, and then it died, and then I remembered a couple of years ago, Bruce hit a button when things went wrong, and he was like, oh no, and shut the show down. So I did not hit that button, and it looks like we survived. But Ryan, I apologize. To answer your question, no. People with occupations that so needs... Uh-oh. Lost Steve again.
I'm back. Sorry, I keep losing you for just a few seconds at a time.
Yeah, this is so weird. It's all good. The internet's not being our friend right now. So let me take a quick break. And before I do that, let me tell y'all about the fun world of Harry's Shave. And the reason I want to talk about Harry's is with WrestleMania coming, you want to make sure you don't become that neck beard that gets filmed in the crowd. You don't want to be put in a position where you look like the most unkempt human being on the planet and fall into that pro wrestling trope of a guy that's just, you know, disheveled as all get out. So I want to tell you a little bit about my fine folks at Harry's. Harry's is really, for me, a fun thing because I keep my beard, as I've mentioned before, but I like keeping that neck area. Decided they weren't going to pay an arm and a leg for razors, and they went to Germany, bought the factory, and it backed by 100% quality guarantee. Harry's is so confident you're going to love their blades that they're going to give you their trial shave set for free when you sign up at harrys.com/pwtorch. Just pay for shipping. Claim your free trial offer from Harry's today. $13 values for free when you sign up. Your set includes a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades, trimmer blade, a rich lathering gel, and a travel blade cover. So to get your free trial offer, go to harrys.com/pwtorch.com. That's harrys.com/pwtorch. So Steve, let's see.
I am here, but yeah, we're still having some issues with the transmission for sure.
All right, well, that's not good. We'll muddle it and hopefully get some folks back. I had a caller, but it looks like they fell off. Let's continue talking about the outdated gimmicks. What's one guilty pleasure for you as far as an outdated gimmick?
We talked about this recently in our group chat, the MVP ripping off the Terrell Owens prima donna gimmick, I think we all enjoyed quite a bit. It is something that, although can be considered obsolete, I see potential for that if you have somebody who has a bit of a name from the outside the WWE. And a name that came to mind for me immediately was that is something that Ricochet could probably come up with as this elite level all-star athlete and have a lot of fun with if they give him that chance. All right, Rich, have I lost you again, sir?
Our hosts are being a little difficult here with connections, so I'm hoping that over the course of the rest of the show, they don't kill our vibe, so to speak. So, Steve, you were talking about my pet peeve right now is a blog talk killing my groove right here, but guilty pleasure. Yes, MVP, definitely. I think for me, my guilty pleasure was dealing with Razor Ramon being Scarface, basically. And I think it was the moment, I want to say it was me probably right before I got to college, and I finally saw Scarface and did a double take and realized that he was supposed to be Tony Montana. And I was like, wait, so was Razor really, is that, he had the razor blade because of the cocaine and not because, oh, well, I guess that would be the reason he would have that. Then he just blew my mind.
He's going to carve you up, man.
And the, and then to blow my mind even more, especially because we're the same age. I'll be 37 in May, but having a lack of an internet like we have here, the robust search engine nightmare, where you could be like, hey, I remember you. You were big Texas Scott Hall like 10 years ago. Like, so when I finally saw Scott, I was like, wait, this Magnum PI looking dude is not right. Oh, crap, it is. And it was just mind blowing. It's like, wow, you really went for the role, and hair gel really can go a long way. But that blew my mind. And before we go any further, I'm going to take a quick break, a little pause for the cause, word to Steve Austin. And when we come back, we're going to keep talking about bad gimmicks, bad gimmick matches, our pet peeves, and of course our guilty pleasures here on The Deep Dive.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I'm Wade Keller, and I urge you to be sure that you're also subscribing to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast at Podcast One and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. All you have to do is search Wade Keller in Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast app you use on your Apple or Android device to subscribe to both feeds. There's a red brand covering Raw and SmackDown every Monday night and Tuesday night, and it's downloadable a couple hours after the show. And then there's also the Wade Keller Podcast Flagship Edition on Thursdays with a rotation of co-hosts, including Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net, Todd Martin, Bruce Mitchell, and others. And then there's our Interview Friday edition. Every Friday, I'm joined by a guest who has worked in the wrestling business, including ex-WWE creative team members like Kevin Eck talking about Drew McIntyre.
Drew was a young guy, and did it go to his head, and did he walk around like he was the chosen one? He did, and I was frank with him, and I said, Drew, just so you know, this is how they view you.
And Podcast One's own Christian Harloff talking about his days working for WWE and Vince McMahon specifically.
As far as their perception of him, I mean, he's the king. He walks in, and it's just, you can feel it. I mean, if the force was real, you would feel the force powering into the room when he enters.
And pro wrestlers, including NWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Aldis, also known as Magnus, talking about the challenges facing Ronda Rousey as she transitions from MMA to WWE.
Think about like the press conferences and stuff like that. They just, someone tells them like, all right, now it's your turn, go out there, right? I'm sure if you ask Ronda, she'd probably say that this moment is the result of hundreds of people's work, meticulous preparation and planning and timing and everything. And now suddenly it's like, go. And that can be very overwhelming.
Just search Wade Keller on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
All right, welcome back to The Deep Dive with Steve and Rich. We are Rich and Steve, and we're talking about outdated gimmicks. We're talking about guilty pleasures, pet peeves, and hopefully talking to you. So make sure you give a call at 646-721-9828. That's 646-721-9828. So we were talking about guilty pleasures. We mentioned Razor Ramon and, of course, Montel Vontavious Porter, and I think we'd be remiss if we didn't go back and talk about the ridiculousness of MVP
getting on the TV to begin with because he threatened the writing staff that they couldn't steal any more of his life for other people to imagine as a gimmick. That pretty much one of the hardest men in wrestling.
The man robbed a cruise ship, you know? I mean, you don't mess with that guy.
Yeah. I mean, even when I saw him in Orlando, of all the people, I was like, well, yeah. And it was really weird because he was right behind me, so I didn't want to be that guy. But I was also like, this is freaking MVP behind me, and I want to be that guy. It was really – I was like, this dude robbed – like, that was the first thing in my head. It's just like the first time I met New Jack. In my head, I wasn't thinking, oh, wow, I remember watching this dude on TV. It's this guy has 7 justified homicides. I can't get in his grill about – oh, go ahead.
He can also – maybe he's not Denzel, but maybe he could be Denzel's friend.
He could be. He could be Denzel's friend. Oh, man. Like, when I saw our buddy Josh saw Game Night, and he told me it was funny. I went to go see it. And the first thing – that was the first thing I thought in my head. There's a scene where this woman showing her husband a picture of someone she slept with, and she said it was Denzel Washington. And I was like, this looks like New Jack. I was like, you really slept with New Jack and thought it was Denzel's friend or Denzel. I was like, yeah, I really appreciate it. So well done, sir. Now, we have someone on hold here, and I want to make sure I get it correct. All right, Mr. Kylan, is this you?
Yes, it is, Rich.
All right, so what brings you to the deep dive neck of the woods for this fine Saturday?
Since we're on the topic of outdated gimmicks here, and so funny that Ryan from Cumberland brought up the topic of the 90s occupational gimmicks, because I was just going to say that T.L. Hopper is certainly one that I hope is never ever copied again. Also, although this is not occupational, I certainly hope that we never see another facsimile of Mike Shaw as Bastion Booger.
Oof. That's a good one. Now, what about, and I'll ask both of you this one. This is a tough question because I got it in Twitter, and it could be a deep dive unto itself. Do you think the WWE is sophisticated enough to handle a gay character?
I'm not sure. Not now under Vince McMahon, but since Triple H is known for having more, I'm not sure if I'll say compassionate sensibilities, but more contemporary sensibilities in his resident booking of his divisions, I would say we'd have a better chance of seeing that under his administration of the company than we do under his father-in-law.
What do you think, Steve?
I don't know that we're quite ready yet. The company is getting better about minorities in general. They do have a noted lesbian on their roster right now in Sonya Deville that it's been addressed, but it's not part of the character at all. Something that gave me hope in this direction recently was when Mustafa Ali came up to 205 Live. The early promos for him were very similar to the initial Muhammad Hassan promos, where it was, hey, I'm this guy. You're not going to like me because of my name, but if you give me a chance, you'll learn to love me kind of thing. And with Muhammad Hassan 12 years ago, it completely fell off the rails quickly. But with Ali, they've stuck with him and not had him do anything ridiculous. And he's one of the more compelling characters on the 205 live show right now. So I think we're getting there, but maybe not yet.
And did you have another question, Kylan? Oh, go ahead.
And another gimmick that I hope we never see would be either Al Snow or Savio Vega as the esteemed Quang.
Oh, man. Yeah, that, what was the joke? Like, what is the sound of 285 pounds hitting yeah, Quang. Yeah, it just isn't good. It wasn't at all. Like,
I am here for a Puerto Rican ninja squad. I mean, I'm all in on this.
Yeah. Puerto Rican. I mean, I couldn't even imagine, because you got like the Amazing Red, Homicide. Now I got to complete this. So you got Savio Vega and No Way Jose, who's the Dominican dude that's like interloped into the squad to like break them up. And since they're ninjas, they didn't know until they took their masks off.
Teach them all front leg back kicks, word to my man Eric Bischoff, and they're good to go, man.
God. That's like the Young Dragons. That's another one. The Young Dragons. It's like you couldn't just be a bunch of, just like, no, we have to be a ninja death squad. And
with Jamie
I guess
Noble.
In hindsight, with Jamie, by God, Noble. Which is, you know, he's as country as anything, but I appreciated it.
I'm not sure if this counts as a gimmick, but he certainly wasn't a good worker at all. And anybody remember Kenzo Suzuki?
Yeah. I mean, Kenzo was a guy who got put in that traditional Asian wrestler role, but then they tried to do a little more with him, and it just didn't take.
Kenzo Suzuki, the Japanese Apollo Creed for a minute there. Remember, he loved America?
Yeah.
And he had a sweet ponytail and a wife, and that's all I remember about Kenzo Suzuki. And he teamed with Rene Dupree.
And they won the tag champs, didn't they?
Yep.
Oh, no, probably.
Oh, Kylan was like, yep. He was right on. He was like, got it.
Noted historian Kylan was there for the save. I dig it.
I saw him wrestle a tag title match live at a house show. So.
Oh, wow. Now, before we let you go, Sir Kylan, is there anything else you wanted to touch on as far as gimmicks, gimmick matches, or anything that was your personal faves or least likely?
Nope. That's it, guys. See you
next. All right. Well, you have yourself. Oh, sorry. The whole system's just acting up, Kylan. See you next week. And make sure for anyone else that's currently calling, because of our issues on the technical side of the ledger, if you push 1 again on your Touchstone phone, or if you're, God bless you, rolling with that rotary, just swing it once, and I'll know you're on hold, and we'll get you. You never know, Steve. I don't want to discriminate. We're in 2018. We might have that one dude.
If you're calling,
we have that one dude.
If you're using 1-800-COLLECT,
I was watching
collect.
Earlier. Yeah, if you're using 1-800-COLLECT, do it. Do it. Save us some money. God, I just want to strangle this host right now because it keeps freezing, and then I'm worried that the whole thing's going to crash and I can't control it. It's like a hostage situation right now. But we're going to make it through. So let me really take a look here, make sure I got my notes. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to do one more break. Oh, wait, we got a caller. Let me, 512, state your name, where you're calling from, and welcome to the deep dive.
Well, I finally get back on the show. Cameron and Austin, man, how y'all boys doing?
Oh, see? Wait a minute. You can't be talking about I finally get back on the show when this dude, I've invited him on the show. He's like, yeah, Saturdays aren't good for me. I have photo shoots. I've got Instagram modeling to do. I have a video to film that I can't report in this country.
Wow. Hey, look, man, jokes are better than facts. I, on both ends, I guess.
I'm sorry, sir.
You got it. Well, go ahead, guys.
No. No, you go ahead, Cam. I'm happy that you called in. I had told at the beginning of the show folks that were interested to email me doing the fan, by East Coast Cast, by Deep Dive, by Place to Be, by, you know, God knows how much at this point, because it's going to be a lot of people. A lot of people have already reached out. I'm not going like the president was like, a lot of people, they're really excited. No. We have actual people of color. I know. Crazy. And not of color, so it's gonna be a party. I'm gonna try to get Bruce to come to New Orleans, but I think he's got warrants. So I'm just being sassy to everybody right now.
Should be a good time. I just wanted to give you guys something really recent, and I think because you stay current, you have to stay up on current events. Sometimes even bad current things kind of get lost in the shuffle, but Primo and Epico, man, had a string of bad gimmicks, like, in a row. Like, they went from Puerto Rican bullfighters to Puerto Rican swindlers this whole timeshare. Like, back-to-back gimmicks. And the second one was supposed to make up for the first one. Like, in recent memory, those are two of the worst trap gimmicks I could think of, because they literally, like, they were just a throwback to what bad gimmicks were based on nothing but how the performers looked and not how much they can actually do in the ring, which with those two is a whole lot. So, yeah, it's Primo and Epico going from Los Matadores to the Shining Stars out here selling Fugazi vacations.
Shoot. I mean, I've only gone to the Hall of Fame once. I went last year for Kurt. Before that, though, when they put in their dad, Carlos Colon, and they brought back Carlito, the joke that they made at the time was kind of like Carlito can make it because he doesn't work there anymore. But since they're brothers, you know, they were going to back him. It's like, you know, whenever there was time that needed to be cut, cut the Colons. And whenever they need to give a bad gimmick, give it to the Colons. And there's a lot to be said about that. I mean, they haven't had that Uso moment where they could be themselves and just break free from a gimmick and let them turned up to 11 be the gimmick.
You know, I wonder if some of the hesitation there isn't how badly it went with Carlito, where they gave him that ball, but he was just frankly lazy and uninspired and really was known for half-assing it. So I don't know if they're reluctant to give the relatives a spot based on his sins or what the deal is, but these guys are definitely underutilized and deserve quite a bit better than what they're getting.
Like,
yes, absolutely.
Talk about their lack of face tag team. Like, they have the size and the skill set, and, you know, just the and really the baby face looks like to be good baby faces when you're lacking something like that, and they just, you know, it's just there.
I mean, now, do they know what to do with the Puerto Rican?
Oh, no.
I was just going to say, do they know what to do with a...
Go ahead, Steve. I'm sorry. I'm going to shut up.
It's all right, sir. I was going to say, just kind of thinking out loud, do they know what to do with a minority baby face that isn't 205 pounds or lighter? It seems to be where these guys get the shine, is either tag teams or the cruiserweights. You know, with the obvious exception of Roman Reigns, because he's the most ruggedly handsome man any of us have ever seen, and we're just going to have to learn to love it.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at Ricochet as that dude, because if you can't figure that out, you got to call it.
Oh, yeah, he's money. Absolute money.
Like, they're doing better by Apollo, I think. They've been doing better by him. Like, he went through, you know, really a year almost where, you know, he's called up. But I really think they should have gave him some big as NXT champion instead of bringing him up while he was the number two or three babyface on NXT. Just because they didn't have anything to do with him at the time. They shouldn't let that kind of run. But they're doing better by him. So I think, like, I don't know. There's just such a log jam at the intercontinental level and up. Like, we might be subjected to a triple threat IC title match with Finn Balor and Miz and Seth Rollins because there's nothing else for them to do. So, like, maybe a guy like Apollo would benefit from being on a SmackDown where, you know, he could go after the U.S. title and have, know, some good matchups there, but, you know, I think to give them credit, they're doing better by him, so maybe a guy like Ricochet can, you know, prosper when it's that time, when he gets that main roster call up, or maybe, you know, somebody else will own the company by the time he's on the main roster, so we don't have anything to worry about, but, you know, we'll have to see.
Yeah, and I am going to make this a triple mocha soy latte, because I'm going to bring in for a second our illustrious host of the East Coast Cast, Travis Bryant. So this is a lot of melanin. Steve, I'm sorry. Travis?
It's all good.
Hey, it's good to be back on Wrestling Night in America. Hey, Greg, who's your...
This is the wrong show.
The other voice.
Actually, you know what? You know what? Just because you did that.
Take your bra off and take it off now.
Oh, wait a second. I don't think anybody wants to see that. what's happening, guys? Rich, Steve, Cam, how's everybody?
Yeah,
good. Now, what's your most problematic gimmick that you are glad isn't in 2018?
Yeah, so this seemed to turn into a bit of like with Kylan, just hey, let's talk about bad gimmicks that I hope nobody's bringing Quang back. Stop it. But it's the topic specifically is like outdated or something, right? Like ones you definitely don't want to come back, see back because of outdated reasons. And anybody that knows me knows there's one gimmick that I absolutely abhor, and that's the damn Akeem the African Dream gimmick. Like, for the obvious super racist and bigoted reasons, I don't like it, and just for the petty reasons that it was a shot at Dusty Rhodes. Well, no, it was, here, you know, you want to be American Dream and be this fake black guy, and there are rumors that Dusty once told bookers, you know, you don't need to hire, you don't need to book a black guy. I'll play that role. But to have Akeem, a former biker gang guy, one-man gang gimmick, mohawk, you know, rough, rugged guy, and then all of a sudden he's a, you know, fake-ass soul jive soul bro with the overly over-the-top gyrations and mannerisms with that jigaboo slick manage him. It was just the whole thing was just awful. Like, whose idea? We know whose idea it was. But what a terrible, petty, bigoted gimmick that was that served one reason, to make a guy guffaw in the back and to poke fun at one of their former competitors. And those are all the wrong reasons to have a gimmick or to create anything.
What do you guys think?
Well, man, I'm in that same boat. There's at the same time as Akeem, you know, they had Virgil, who is, you know, a literal slave for Ted DiBiase, And that was part of the rib was they named him Virgil because that was Dusty's name. So yeah. I don't know what the deal is with
Eddie and races. Like,
yeah, just nonsense.
Yeah. I think you could almost literally take the entire second half of the 80s and just throw the whole damn thing away. Throw the whole roster away. All right, not all of them. Mr. Perfect and Jake the Snake and, you know, there's some notables. But anybody with an occupational gimmick or like Akeem, just a dumb – like, what was Bastion Booger? Like, what was he supposed to be? Like a guy that just ate turkey legs? Like
actual trash.
Actual trash, okay. Just a garbage, just a piece of garbage. Like, hey, no, I'm not insulted. I'm a piece of garbage.
Right,
like the kid that played the tree in the school play. Like, no, he's a tree. You're a piece of garbage.
But you're right, though. Like, as far as occupational gimmicks, like, we're not going to have, like, we're never going to have another CO. Like, the way that law enforcement in general is viewed, just in the public eye, like, you can't really have that be a face or a heel gimmick if you don't play up the nuance of it. And that's not something capable of doing, like.
You end up alienating one group or the other.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you won't, and I mean, two of the biggest ones, you know, like, you're never going to see another porn star. You're not. Here. Because really, if I was like 32 while Val Venus was like happening, I'd be like, yo, this is ridiculous. Like
this is so inappropriate.
Exactly. Just and not even good. Like it's such cheesecake. And then like if you played I think it was 2K17, like it was the showcase of everybody who went to the Hall of Fame and like you have Godfather in there. And you just can't ever do anything like that again. Like, the fact that some of our favorite women wrestlers got their start in that gimmick is amazing. Because I don't think you could even convince anybody to do that now. Like, thank God Victoria Bailey's shower, Eddie Guerrero. But when I say convince them to do it, what I mean is, like, you can't translate. You can't do that with Mandy Rose. And then have Mandy Rose be your women's champion eventually. Like, don't work like that. Not anymore.
Just, not anymore.
That transition can't happen. You know?
It could. It's just WWE, like we talked about, or like you guys talked about earlier with the gay character. They're just not. They're not in any kind of creative position to pull that off with any kind of finesse. Fuck finesse. Screw finesse.
No.
Excuse me. Like any kind of just confidence. Not being scumbags. Just put it that way. Doesn't even be fun, you know, this finesse, nuance filled thing. Just, you know, don't have them out there. Hey, sailor! You know, that kind of stuff. Like, where I think they would just be, they wouldn't be able to help themselves.
Is Nia Jax still a plus size model?
Yes. I mean, probably technically. I'm sure she got a portfolio ready to go if somebody was like, you know,
like,
hey, here's a.
Yeah, on television, she's
94,
right?
Oh, yeah. Was she? Was that a part of her thing when she first showed up?
That was one of the things they'd always highlight when she was walking down the ring.
Okay.
I'm glad
but
that
isn't that a little different, though? Like, you wouldn't consider that, like, what's the Navy or military chick with the blonde in NXT? Like, her gimmick is she's a pin-up military type.
Oh, Lacey
thing.
Evans.
It's not something
yeah.
that they just say while she walks down. Like, hey, she was in the, you know, she did, you know, 10 years in the military. She was a sniper or whatever she did. Like, no, that's her gimmick. She wears the outfit. They play it up. I don't remember Nia. I do remember them saying it, but just, I mean, I'm being super particular.
Batman definitely did not make it to 2018. They left that in 2017.
Yeah.
And that ain't coming back.
But do you think that's because it's just not, like, who cares? It's not a thing that highlights it's not a fighter's statistic.
Because that they, for them to use it, it's a qualifier of her attractiveness. Like,
okay. Yeah.
Because how they present things, what they were saying was, even though she's of a certain size, we need our audience to understand that she's the best-looking person of that size.
You don't have to explain that she's hot. Our eyes will tell us that. that would be my issue.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Then that's probably, like you said, probably a good thing to leave.
And to Cam's point, before, I'm gonna take a quick break and bring everybody back to kind of finish strong. I always go back to the JR interview where he was talking about Gail Kim, and it took him finally sitting Vince McMahon down and saying people like Asian women in porn to sell Vince on the fact that this is an attractive woman. And that just blew my mind that he could look at Gail Kim and be like, I don't want.
They like Asian women everywhere else too. Like, I mean, yeah, they're great.
Right, but that was the thing that Vince needed as like the over the top. He couldn't say like, hey,
right,
here's,
like, look
you know,
at these numbers. Right. Like you can imagine what the numbers for like Asian searches and kind of stuff. Right. But again, you don't need to know like that specific. Look at her, Vince, for crying out loud. She don't do nothing for you. Like, I mean, and maybe not. You can understand that she might for somebody else, for sure. I mean, Gail Kim was my absolute favorite for a long time, and to know that's how, I didn't know that, and that's just sad that they had to go there. Like, hey, here's this Asa Akira chick, let's, like, trust me, people are going to get behind her. Pause? Or whatever. Yeah.
Wow.
All right, so before we continue with the slander and Dragon Vince, I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to finish strong. Steve and I, Place to Be Nation, Chris Cross with the East Coast Catch, Chris Cross with Fan by Fan. And so hold on tight, guys, and you're going to hear more of the deep dive right after this.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too. And if so, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMATorch.com.
All right. Welcome back to the Deep Dive with Rich, Cam, Steve, and Travis. And we're here talking about the awkwardness of beauty being ascribed to someone in order to make it a good gimmick. Bad gimmicks are pet peeves, and of course are, what's the right word? Our dirty little secrets? No, that's. I'll leave that for. Wait, we.
Well,
I meant to say our. Wait, what? Who said that? We're not out of time. So, what do you guys find to be? Because Steve and I have already mentioned ours. What have been your more favorite gimmicks that might have been something that's outdated? Like Steve mentioned, I mentioned Razor Ramon, and then Steve mentioned, and my brain stopped working. Steve, help me here.
MVP.
MVP, thank you.
Does a gimmick that only existed in vignettes count?
Yes.
You're going to say Sean O'Hare, aren't you?
Yeah, but I'm not sure if it works with the question. Like, I think that would still totally work today. I don't think it's like outdated or outmoded or anything. It's probably,
I think it'd be tough
question.
Because there's so much, but there's so many guys who already do those sort of shock. Is this real? Is this not real? Promo, having him just come out and just be like, it's okay that you're cheating on your husband on the road, because everyone does it. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. And then you just got Bailey like dumbstruck as Finn Balor like walks out of the locker room, and Vince is like, "See, they like it. She's a bad girl."
I think mine would be, and it's weird to say that it wouldn't work now. Mine would be probably a Kurt Angle. I don't think that you can sell American Hero in the same way that you did kind of with Kurt Angle. I mean, even at that point, it's something that you kind of tried to recreate with. Well, here's the thing.
You don't think it worked even better now? Because he was a heel.
are you going to let me go with the point? This is Rich's show this time. So no, I think that you can't have. It's kind of like a Captain America thing. I think that the way society is now, white meat baby face just isn't. Kurt Angle post heel run. So I guess Kurt Angle invasion storyline. Kurt Angle, like I don't.
9/11 Kurt Angle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I think machine ECW Kurt Angle can work, but you know, do everything by the book, kind of everything the right way. You know, big smile with the big blue eyes. I just think that. It's good. That would come across like a Roman Reigns comes across in a different way, in that this is what you think we should like, so we're going to reject it. Like, everybody who's a babyface right now, even look-wise, they kind of have an edge to them. Like, there's a reason that Elias looks like Seth Rollins, looks like Roman Reigns. Like, they all have, you know, the long, dark hair, you know, with the beard, you know, AJ Styles, I think, works better because he has a beard now, kind of with long hair, as opposed to, like, do you remember what AJ Styles' face looked like? If that wasn't the way. Like, I just don't think that clean-cut baby face look works anymore because everybody people champion on the indies, the lower card guys that people want to see move up, the way guys look at NXT, it's just not an aesthetic you can go with anymore. And I think that as a babyface, the whole For America thing, if that's something you push, that's not really a part of Kurt Angle's gimmick anymore. But if that's something that you want to rest your laurels on, I just don't think that it's going to work. Even the, who was it? The Dutch Mantel. Thing for a while, him being with Jack Swagger, that had a shelf life that I don't think ever could have been made. That, maybe Jack Swagger holds that back partly, but it's not something I think would have worked.
I think that one was also exacerbated by a lot of the conservative radio guys jumping on it like Hannity, to the point where they had to go out of character to say, this is just us talking. All right, so I got one more, and I'm going to get y'all out of here because I got Boris, and then we got to close up shop. To Cam's point, I want to throw out this as a challenge, though. If the WWE signed one of the gymnasts for an Alexa Bliss-type role that won the gold at the last Olympics, could it have worked?
Man,
it depends on who that is.
Like, that's it.
Exactly.
Allie Race, and I'm like, I'm at every pay-per-view. I don't care where the show is. Here's some money. But that's like...
Because
that's
I feel like looking at Allie, she's got the face like Alexa where she could be so happy and so... And then just turn it.
I feel like looking at Allie, too. Like, all the time.
Yeah, man.
Steve, the views of Steve Williams do not reflect...
She's got that thing that like a Bailey has where it's that kind of that ethnic ambiguity that I think can bring kind of everybody in. Just brown enough. Just brown enough. So I think like that, she just really crosses off a lot of things that they look for. And just, I mean, they all have amazing physiques. I think like a Simone Biles would be too small. Just too small. Like even, like I feel like Alexa Bliss can put her elbow on top of Simone Biles' head. Like, she's that tiny, you know, but, yeah, Allie would be...
Is Reisman any that much bigger? Like, taller, at least. Because they're all, like,
I mean,
to do that.
She's noticeably taller, but
tiny.
Still not tall. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the way I look
but no,
at like,
the
Simone
one,
Biles
the one is
tiny.
Super, super tiny. Mm.
Even though she's got, like, physique, like, she's the strongest one probably out of all of them, but she is compact.
All right.
What about you, Steve? What do you think?
Pretty much everything Cam said. I don't really have anything to add to that.
I think they had a lot better chance to work with a woman, Olympic gold medalist woman coming in than like what Cam described earlier, like a Kurt Angle type coming in today as a babyface, I should point out.
Yeah, I mean, to Cam's point, when they had initially brought in Kurt Angle as Mr. Drink Your Milk, smiling babyface, the crowd immediately rejected it to the point where they were left with no choice but to steer into it, and it turned out great, thankfully, that they did that back then.
Yeah, I just think that was 1999, and that was absolutely not going to work. I think it's way clearer case. Obviously, I have 20 years of hindsight, but I think you can make a way clearer case why that gimmick or why that face-heel positioning wouldn't work in 1999 and why I could make a case for why it would. That would, you know, and Cam obviously made his why he doesn't think it would. But I think in 2018, super wrestling athlete, clean-cut guy that has personality. Like, I don't think we're giving that part enough. I think the crowd would connect with him as a good guy.
I mean, shoot, we're talking about Chad Gable, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah, with some serious credentials and, like, media, mainstream media cred.
And four-inch lips in his shoes.
And a half of his lip, yes. Yeah, for sure.
Just while we were talking, I thought about Jordan Burroughs, but then I looked him up on Google, and he's 5'8". So between him and Chad, he would be the tall one. And Vince still, even if they stood on each other's shoulders, would half give him a chance. But all right, gents, before you go, got anything else for the good of the order?
No,
I do not.
All right, well, Trav, Cam, always a pleasure. Come back.
Yep.
Don't
Maybe.
Be strangers. Mate, oh, you. Oh, and, I mean, where is it? Where is it? I'm going to.
How brutal.
Boom. Thank you, Vince, and thank you, Pat McNeil, for all the sound effects I will now not use anymore. So, Steve, we got one caller left. It's Boris. Before we get Boris, I want to do a quick break. So the house makes money. But when we come back, we're going to finish strong with Boris and get some final thoughts from the two of us. And we're going to have some fun here on the Deep Dive.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive with Steve and Rich. I am Rich, he is Steve, and we're coming to you live from where we lived to where you live, talking wrestling, talking gimmicks, talking pet peeves, talking all sorts of things in the last 10 minutes, and of course, talking guilty pleasures in the gimmick world. I would give the number out. I will, just because I'm a machine, 646-721-9828. That's 646-721-9828. But we have one last caller of the day, and it's going to be Mr. Boris in Chicago. Boris, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Since we was talking about...
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
These characters and stuff... Kamala, James Harris. We can't do no more Ugandan giants and, you know, from the jungles of wherever they say he was from, Sahara or something. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that? Those type of characters, bat-footed and all.
Well, yeah, you got the deepest, darkest Africa stuff. Yeah, that stuff's got to stay out. Or even the phrases.
Yeah.
I know Steve and I hadn't talked about this one yet, but Gorilla Monsoon would drop a Pearl Harbor in a second in the middle of a commentary.
And with, you know, I've seen a few interviews that James Harris did. The great thing about him, he refused, when he went certain places, he refused the job to certain people. And I'm sure you probably heard the stories on YouTube, how he sat in the locker room with two other black people, and they was, like, worried about him because he wouldn't job, that they would blame it on them. certain some other wrestler named Abdullah the Butcher. And I was like thinking to myself, you did all this, you know, nasty stuff to yourself, and yet you still sold out for it, and you know what I'm saying? You did all these things, and you never stood up for yourself. You know, and I was kind of glad to hear that, you know, James, when he was telling the stories about, you know, going to Japan and stuff like that, and how they, you know, pretty much begged him to job to certain people, and he just refused.
So, yeah, I mean, there's something to be said. You know, your business is the most important thing. Steve,
your brand. Yeah, your brand.
Well, I think that helped him, too, in that he was able to maintain as a, you know, kind of unbeatable monster for years because he just would never blow it off. You know, when it would come time to take the clean loss, he would just move on to the next territory. And that really suited him well right up until the Nitro era, because by that point, you know, he was near the end of his run and there wasn't too many more places to go. It's not like he was going to jump back to WWF at that point, and he just didn't want to lose to somebody in WCW that the name escapes me now. And just that was it for him on a national level after that. And with those Savage characters in general, I mean, how are we supposed to believe in 2018 that these guys are that simple, for lack of a better word, and they can't figure out airports or how to get to arenas and car rentals, you know? All that stuff. It's silly to think they got away with it for that long.
And think about it. We just seen a movie that portrayed, you know, the African culture in a strong, you know, strong, powerful, you know, way. So we definitely couldn't go back to stuff like that. Basically, let's throw some more in there. Saba Simbas, whatever Rocky Maivia was supposed to be, you know, just, you know, because we are, you know, some of us are a gimmick, so we got to put a gimmick on top of a gimmick, as was stated. But I got a question. Can a character like Malenko and a Bret Hart, can they make it now that we're going back to wrestling? It seems like we want to be a wrestling. Can a Dean Malenko type character or a Bret Hart type character make it now?
Steve?
I think they have a better chance now than they did then. Because most of the guys now, that is essentially what they are. They're just a guy with some personality as opposed to an out-and-out gimmick. I think somebody with that much talent would have a much better chance of shining. Malenko, in particular, now I think would do a lot better. One, because he could rely on the wrestling more, and two, because overall the median height is shorter now than it was 20 years ago. So I think he wouldn't be dismissed as easily.
Yeah, and look at basically 205 and NXT. 205 and NXT are what you're talking about, Boris. They're guys who can wrestle. They may have some flourishes, but for the most part, Roderick Strong is this generation's Dean Malenko.
Yeah.
Actually, he's probably like a generation and a half, if we're being honest.
That's the thing. The main roster is always the test. You know, when these guys do so well in the NXT or everywhere else, the big, you know, gotta look at that camera first. You gotta pose for the sign. You gotta point. I mean, you can just see it so blatant that, you know, I think they think more of where to stand and, you know, what to do next than to wrestle. You know, when you watch some of these matches on the main roster, I was like, man, if they could just allow them just to not think about where you gotta stand, you know, are you in the right position when you get up or when you win? You know, you gotta stand to this corner so we can take the right pitches. It takes you out the match because you see it's like they're thinking. You know,
thing you want to keep in mind, and as always, thank you for the call, my man. Have a good weekend. One thing you want to keep in mind is for all their talk about how much training they want to give people and look at the hard camera, Ronda Rousey went down there for 7 months and she's been on and has done just fine without having a single televised NXT match.
You know something Steve Austin had said, that he would even struggle now with the constantly having to play to the cameras. He always said, you know, just show me where the hard camera is. I'll do my thing. You have 12 cameras. You'll figure out where to find me and what I'm doing. So I think maybe if they taught the production team a little better instead of to follow the action instead of teaching the action to follow the cameras, you know, I think we'll have a overall more organic feeling product.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And so I think at this point we've reached the end of the road, as Voice of Men would say. Steve, before we get out of here, I want to first thank you for coming on and persisting as these technical difficulties almost wrecked us, but we stayed the course. How can folks follow you, follow your work? And I know you're a little bit of a wrestling Ronin, but where can they find some of your collected works?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at SteveDubRN. That's really the only social media that I'm utilizing at this point. I've done quite a bit of work over at placetobenation.com. You can find some of those podcasts under the header. Oh, what the hell was our show called now? I can't even remember. For Your Consideration, with me and Will from Texas. We haven't done any new shows recently because that project is wrapping up, but I will implore you to follow many of the other shows on that feed, as well as the Pro Wrestling Only feed. In particular, I wanted to give a quick plug to Through the Years. That is THROH, Through the Years, over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed. They have been following in chronological order the Ring of Honor history. They're currently up to the fall of 2003. They very well-spoken guys who have quite a bit of knowledge about that product. I also want to implore you to check out the WorldCast, which drops on that feed every Wednesday. Pete Kelly and Johnny Sorrow are following the World Class Championship Wrestling networks, the episodes on the network chronologically. They are currently up to the fall of 1982. So if you're into that kind of thing, please give that a listen.
Awesome. Well, enjoy the rest of your weekend, sir. And, hopefully your dog isn't too loud anymore for you and can give you a moment's rest.
I think he may be dead back there, but thank you for having me on, and I will jump off here to make sure that everything is, in fact, intact in my house.
Oh, God. That was Steve Williams, Steve Dub, RN on the Twitter, as the people on the kids are saying nowadays. Thank you, guys, as always. Another great week, another great dive. And next week's deep dive, the deep dive goes shallow as my friend Justin McClellan examines WWE's cinematic opus, The Marine Series, from its early days as an actual cinematic release to today's unlikely straight-to-DVD vehicles for The Miz. We'll look into all five movies, list the body counts and explosions, discuss the strange casting decisions, dissect the plots, and compare the movies to other long-running Hollywood franchises. Who is the best Marine? Why is vigilante justice the best kind of justice? What do we want out of future sequels? So please, watch one or more of these celluloid gems to call in with your own observations and or jokes and or defenses, because if I know there's going to be some members of the Marine Defense Force come out and say that these things are works of art. So why should they be in the Library of Congress and forever frozen in immortality? I challenge you, pwtdive@gmail.com. Call next week, 646-721-9828. And, of course, as always, dive into something new, challenge yourself, push yourself, and impress yourself with how far you can go when you didn't think you could. This is Rich. I'm going to say goodnight for now, and I want to see you guys next week here, Dive.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free additions to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer, and there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip.